Hey everyone, I'm trying to get to TwitchCon 2018 this year, but I need your help. How, you may be asking? Well, every little bit counts, and we're trying to offset the cost of travel and accommodations through donations on our Twitch channel. So for the next month, we have a goal of $1,000 that we're trying to hit. If you can, head on over to donate.gamertagradio.com to support, and hopefully I'll see you at TwitchCon.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
And you're listening to episode 803 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris, and this episode, I'm joined by Pete.
Hello. Good morning, everyone.
Danny is not here for this episode. He is actually in Los Angeles. I believe he's probably back at LAX at this point. He was here all weekend for Hispanicize, I believe I'm saying that correctly. And apparently, him and Mario Lopez are best friends now, and maybe he's flying back home on Mario Lopez's private jet. Oh, my God. This is hilarious. Extra. Nah, but... Yep. It's just so funny because, yeah, he was at the event all weekend, you know, great thing, you know, for the Hispanic community here in Los Angeles. And he'd sent out pictures. Yeah, I had one with Mario Lopez. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I'm looking at his Instagram. I swear, every picture, Mario Lopez is in the background somewhere. I'm like, is he hanging out with this guy all weekend or what? Then he had the one with Perez Hilton. Michael Myers was stalking him all through L.A. It was hilarious. But hopefully he had a great time and he could talk about that on the next episode. But before we get into this episode proper, Danny, let everyone know where they can leave us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Right. And also to mention, you can find us over at GamertagRadio.com. You can find us on Audioboom, iTunes, Google Play, Vetrex Media, Spotify, ColecoVision 2000. We're everywhere. You can find us on your favorite RSS subscription service.
You Great. Kill me so every time. You kill me every time when you throw the Vetrex in there. Just like...
You know, hey, I'm from the 80s, man. That was my stuff. Look, back in the 80s, my mom, I remember this vividly. This had to have been 84, 85 up in there somewhere. She got me the Vetrex, like, randomly out of nowhere. I didn't even know what the hell a Vetrex was. And to me, that was, like, the absolute coolest thing in the world. And I played that Asteroid game ripoff. It was called Mindstorm or something like that. And then there was like the game that was like Berserk. I had that, and there was a third one I can't remember. I used to play those things all the freaking time. And then yeah, Vetrex went away. And then the ColecoVision I never had, but one of my neighbors had it, and I thought that was the coolest damn thing ever, because the Donkey Kong on the ColecoVision was way better than the crappy Donkey Kong I had on the Atari 2600. Smurfs was a game on there. There was this other game called Frontline, which was amazing. Yeah, it was awesome. And then I remember I had another friend that had the Commodore 64. I used to play that all the freaking time over his house. And then eventually I got the NES. Oh, the mid-80s gaming, you know, we look back at it now and it may look cheesy, but dude, that was the birth of the modern video games that we have now. And dude, that was a sweet spot for me, because I was like, what, 11, 12, 13 years old up in there somewhere when all that stuff was coming out. So yeah, dude, it was freaking awesome.
Honestly, of all the consoles and stuff, the Vetrex is the one that I actually had to look up when you brought it up. I was like, I don't recall that. I literally had to look it up, and I just put it up in the Twitch chat right now. And did that controller, like, was that built into the monitor
itself? Yes. That was the thing about the Vetrex. It was literally its own self-contained video game system, because it had its own monitor. Like you said, that controller was built right into it. That's and cool. I was reading the history on that. God, now I forget. I'll have to do more research to properly say this, but it was a happy accident that whole thing came together. It was a couple different manufacturers that came together that created that Vetrex. And I guess it actually had some success early on, and then typical 80s, the company got greedy and tried to do more than it should have, and that's why it went out of business. I'll do more research on it again. I remember reading that a little while back. But before we get into the show proper, Pete, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing a tad salty. Our University of Miami Hurricanes lost to, I don't know, some like tier four like football team last night. So I'm a tad bit upset. But aside from that, sticking with the games concept, I'm on the fence, bro. I'm on the ledge. I don't know which side to roll, if I need to go blackout, if I don't go blackout. This is the first Call of Duty title I think I've actually hesitated on buying, but like I'm like teetering. I don't know. And like I've got friends that are like, dude, you should get it. Hell, my son bought it. The last person I expected to buy it. And so I'm like, wow, if my son bought it and he's enjoying it, maybe I should take that next step. And so I don't know. I'm on the fence. I don't know if I want to do it, or I don't know if I want to, if I'm not going to. I have it downloaded. I downloaded all 65 gigs to update my file. So like it's there and waiting. I just don't know if I want to, you know, take that next step.
Okay. Let's just dive right on into this then.
Yes.
So full disclosure, thank you, Activision. They sent me a review code for the PC version of Black Ops 4. So I've had it since Thursday night, and I've only played Blackout. I have not touched any other mode in there, zombies, the multiplayer proper or whatever. And to bring this all the way back, this isn't really review. This is just kind of early impressions. When Danny and I went to that reveal event back in May, if you guys remember that episode, I said then it's okay that they're not doing the campaign, because the truth of the matter is I've not completed a Call of Duty campaign since Modern Warfare 3. I just don't have the interest in it anymore. I may have started a few of them, get into it halfway, I lose interest because I feel like it's the same thing, rinse and repeat. You know, look, the production values in the campaign, the cinematics in the campaign have always been industry leading in Call of Duty. That there's no question when it comes to that, right? That's the one thing that Call of Duty does better than anyone else, in my opinion. They really make you feel like you're in the middle of a conflict with that stuff. But it really started to become cookie cutter as far as me, the player, pointing my gun at enemies, like the AI of the enemies, just the things that they're doing in the campaign always felt very scripted versus I mattered. Like I felt like I was just a part of the action and not actually influencing anything that was happening. I was just following a script to the end of an encounter, and that's really all it was, right? Depending on my difficulty, you know, how much resistance I got. So I didn't really care about the campaign even back in May, but you know, I thought it was risky that, all right, they're fleshing out zombies more. The multiplayer, we played the multiplayer. It was fun, but again, kind of more of the same. And that's kind of where my thought process was with Call of Duty coming out of that event leading up to where we are here in October, that it's still going to have its audience, because there's still people that love that multiplayer. There's people that love that zombies mode. But what is Blackout? What are they going to do with this Blackout mode, with this Battle Royale mode? Because if they can pull it off, I'm in, right? So that beta came out. I played it on every damn platform that it's available on because I wanted to get a feel. Played it on PS4, played it on Xbox, played it on PC, played it on Coleco. No, I'm just kidding. But played it on everything. And I was like, wow, this is really freaking good. So my interest went from sub 50% to probably 85% plus. Like, I want to play this game. And I knew I didn't want to do it on console. I wanted to play this mouse and keyboard on PC because I felt like that was going to be the definitive version of what they were doing with this Blackout mode, with this Battle Royale mode, not to mention, you know, Activision, Treyarch, I forget the studio that actually did the PC port, but they put an extra emphasis on the PC version. They put it on Battle.net, very similar to what they did with Destiny 2 a year ago, and that turned out to be excellent. So I was like, I want to do this. This is going to be excellent. So flash forward to where we are now. Been playing it since Thursday night. I've actually only done solos. I've not done duos, quads, nothing yet. I've only just rolled in solo just so I can get a feel for it. I freaking love it, man. I really do. I think they're clearly the number two battle royale game in the world right now. And depending on your tastes, they're number one. If you're not a Fortnite guy, but you love that PUBG experience, they're doing it better than PUBG, in my opinion. PUBG is a slower experience. I get it and all that. People, you know, part of the appeal to it are some of the bugs and everything. But Blackout for me has been a virtually bug and lag free experience so far. The map size is great. You know, it's like when I started playing, there was only 88 players. I know people are saying now you can get over 100. I know Treyarch has already come out and said they're going to be adding more modes and just different scenarios and things that you'll be able to do in it. This feels like a mode that is going to wind up being a smash hit for them. And it's going to kind of set the tempo for what Activision does with Call of Duty moving forward. Because next year, who I don't even know if it's Sledgehammer, Infinity Ward, or whoever's making the next Call of Duty, they're going to have Blackout in that Call of Duty next year. Not to mention, with this mode, does it just simply, now we move on to the next one a year from now? Or does Activision try to do something where they literally break Blackout into its own thing? I mean, I will be very curious to see what they do a year from now, you know, with this mode. But it is clear to me this is going to be, I shouldn't say this is future Call of Duty. Obviously, the multiplayer is still going to have its place. I would expect campaign comes back, maybe. Or do they can it all together? Again, the point I'm trying to make is like IGN even or do an experiment with this where they're going to review each mode of Call of Duty individually now, which I think is fantastic. But it also raises the question that I'm saying now, could we see a split? Could we see them break Call of Duty up into specific modes and sell them separately versus doing them as an all-in-one thing? I'm very curious of your thoughts on this, Pete, and I will end what I'm saying by this. If you have it downloaded, I know it's $60. I know you love the Battle Royale mode. I know you love PUBG. I think this has a place in your Rolodex. I do. I really do. I think you will be Squidward watching me and freaking Danny just running around with our arms up going, wee, having fun if you don't play this, in my opinion. But again, you got to throw money at it. So where I didn't, to be fair, you know, but that's why we run ads on GTR. Maybe sometimes you just got to dip into it a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
So there's definitely a case of FOMO going on, right? Fear of missing out, right? I've got friends playing it. I was playing PUBG with friends, and I happened to look over at Twitch, and I noticed that there was 300,000 viewers on Twitch watching Call of Duty Blackout.
Yeah.
I think Shroud had something like 25, 26 hours nonstop streaming. Ninja was playing Call of Duty. PUBG had 8,000 viewers. I had never seen PUBG with that low of a number count ever. But yet I was still playing PUBG. I don't know. There's a strong chance that I'll probably pull the trigger sometime today just so I can play with friends. Hell, maybe even play with my son if he so deems me worthy to play with him, right? Because he's at that age now. To go to the other part of your conversation, which with regards to them splitting it out, I don't think they will. The only reason I say that is they're already splitting them out from a development standpoint. You've got Sledgehammer, you've got Treyarch, you have Infinity Ward, and by the way, Beenox is the company that did the PC development portion.
Yeah, thank you. Yep.
I'm afraid that it gets too fractured at that point. Right, it's kind of like when you look at the Android ecosystem. You've got, you've got Samsung. You have, all the other hardware carriers all playing with different software carriers, and you start to lose the focus of the particular title. Not to say that it's a bad thing. I think Battle Royale has become large enough that it's almost become its own. It's outgrown its subgenre title, right? Because it came out of the shooter, and now it's literally its own thing. I don't know. I think it's real difficult to say that, it's definitely being it should get split out into its own. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason why. I just think it's going to get over fractured or just too fractured to the point that people start to lose focus. I would love to see the campaign back. I might be in the minority there when people say, you know, that the campaign wasn't necessary. I actually had a process when I played Call of Duty where once I got the game, I went straight into the single player and I finished the campaign and I wouldn't touch the multiplayer until after I finished the single player, just to get it out of the way, because I didn't think I would ever go back into it if I just jumped straight into the multiplayer. So do I miss it? Yes. I played the single player campaign in World War II and it was okay. But, you know, there's not a lot of people that play that play Call of Duty for that. So that's why I think that I'm in the minority. As far as Blackout, watching it play, and not to say that it's without its issues, because I've watched, you know, apparently the netcode potentially is on the same level as the same issues that Call of Duty that PUBG and Fortnite had upon launch. So there's people complaining about netcode. There's obviously people saying that snipers are totally underpowered and that they need to get fixed. Obviously, game just launched, you know, 72 hours ago, so we need the developers to work on that, test it, and push it out for a patch. I don't know. Dude, I am so testy. I may just have to dip into the card and just say, you know, F it, and we're, you know, just jump right in. And I'll be able to play with you, hopefully, do some duos.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was also part of my reasoning for going on PC as well, because, you know, I mean, you and in our Discord family, a lot of PC players on there. And like I said, to me, it just feels like the right way to play this mode. And while it's not PUBG, I still had the intense moments that a PUBG can give you, especially playing solo. Man, you're hearing sounds. You're like, wait, what was that? Where's that coming from? You know, that kind of stuff. And then just hilarious things now with the vehicles. Like there was one match I played early on where, you know, I'm just riding around the dune buggy and doing my thing. And then I saw someone had left a helicopter and I snuck in behind in-house because I could see he was in-house, took him out. Then I took his helicopter and I'm just flying around and dude like literally shot me out of the sky. It was hilarious. But that was fun to me though, to be able to have that option to do stuff like that. So I'm enjoying it. Like I said, this game a month ago was not even on my radar with all the freaking games that are out right now. It wasn't on my radar until that beta for Blackout.
Right.
And it shot right up the list and I'm very excited for it and I think it's a lot of fun. So like you brought up the point though, I do agree that I don't think Activision would break Call of Duty up into various modes and sell it separately for just everything that you said. But I guarantee you that conversation has been had. They're having that conversation, because
I think they would have to, just as a company, you want to look at every angle to see, you know, what's the best next step for the title. My question to you is, I see you're enjoying it now. Does Blackout pose enough of a fun factor or a challenge that you'll still be playing this 30, 60, 90 days from now?
Yes. I'm not Danny. Yes, I will. and that's the thing. And I know I'm throwing shade at Danny because I love him. But the reason I bring that up is, as you can see, I'm very picky on what I devote my time to. Mm-hmm. Dude, I've still not played Spider-Man, which is crazy. But there's a method to my madness, because once I pick up that controller for Spider-Man, that's all I'm going to play until I'm done. You know, I'm not big on hopping back and forth between games, which is why I'm so conflicted with all the stuff that's going on right now. Matter of fact, as soon as we're done with this podcast, I'm going to finish the raid for Destiny 2 because we're literally at Riven. And I want to knock that out, get my raid clear, and I'm probably going to take a break from Destiny for a couple weeks because I want to devote time to Blackout. You know, again, I'll get into the story of the other things I'm playing. There's a couple of other things I'm playing as well that I'm kind of jumping into, and that's what I want to play. And then when I'm done with that, then I'll get back into Destiny, do that whole thing. But anyways, point I'm making is, yeah, I will be playing Blackout past the 30-day mark, the 60-day mark into 2019. But that mode, along with everything else, is there's just so many games that are going to be fighting for my attention. But at least with Blackout, it's not a mode that I necessarily need to commit a huge amount of time to. It's something that every match is its own thing. So there'll be the one-offs where, hey, you want to run some quad? Sure, let's jump in. We'll run a few matches, have fun, and then I'm back to whatever else I was doing. I think, again, that's kind of the beauty of the way that this mode works, why it's so enjoyable, because it doesn't require the time commitment to have fun. Every match can be fun, no matter if it's the first time you pick it up or it's the 100th time you pick up. Everyone can be unique. So, yeah, I'm in for sure. And like I said, this, I was skeptical at first when they announced it. Then I was very curious through the summer. And then now that I see what they're doing, very happy to see this. Now, here brings the next question. What is EA going to do? What is DICE doing? What is Battlefield going to be? I've seen rumblings of what the Battlefield version of this is going to be, but we've not actually seen it yet, because allegedly there's no solo modes in this. There's no duo. They're only running quads, and it's only 64 players, which is fine. I don't think that's a deal breaker. It's only 64 players, but I'm curious if that's just the initial offering or they're going to break it out into other things. But we simply don't know yet. So, again, I'll be very curious to see what the Battlefield version of this is going to be. And, yeah, we'll go from there. Again, if you're a Battle Royale fan, it's great to see these options, especially on the console side. That's the other big thing with Blackout. This is the best console version of a Battle Royale game. This is definitely better than PUBG when it comes to being on the console, not to mention it's also available on a PlayStation 4. And when I say that, I'm not including Fortnite. Fortnite is literally its own thing at this point. But like I said, we'll see what the Battlefield version of this is going to be. And then going into 2019, who else is going to attempt to do this? Is the Division 2 going to have some? Because remember, there was rumblings at a certain point that the Division 2 was going to have some form of Battle Royale. We don't know yet. So that'll be interesting to see when more of that news comes out. Will the Division 2 try something similar? I think they could absolutely pull it off if they try. But we'll see. We'll absolutely see. So that's it. I'll stop rambling about Blackout. But any last things you want to bring on that?
No, I'm excited to hear that you have interest in the Battle Royale mode in general, because you've always been like you've been the Squidward in that way, where you've always been curious about it, but never like full-fledged jumping in. And so I'm glad to see that you have excitement and enjoyment of playing it, as opposed to just like, okay, I see everybody playing it. Pete's always playing it. Danny plays it on occasion, but you've never like embraced the Battle Royale genre. So I'm glad to see that you're jumping in head first.
Yeah, and I think I'll say this, and then I'll be quiet, but Fortnite's just not for me. I'm like, my son plays it all the time. PUBG could be. I've just not truly committed to it, but this one seemed right to give the commitment to. You know, is kind of this is the nice introduction into the whole Battle Royale genre. Maybe I get so much into it, then I'll give PUBG a second look and commit to that more. But this one seemed the right one to do. You know what I mean? Not to mention, like I said, it's very polished for what it is versus, you know, what I have experienced so far with PUBG on PC and on Xbox. So yeah, this feels right to me to be the one to get good into.
I'm glad.
But
I'm glad.
Now moving on to something else, because so Assassin's Creed Odyssey, you know, I've been, you know, playing it. It's fantastic for what it is. But earlier this week, I go, you know, I'm curious, how does The Witcher 3, like, I want to go back and play The Witcher 3 just a little bit, just a little taste, to see how it compares to what Odyssey is right now. Like, how far has the open world RPG genre come since it was introduced, really? I mean, in this form, I should say, by The Witcher 3. What do the advances look like? I'm going to go jump in and play a little bit. Pete, I'm playing The Witcher 3 again. it's still the GOAT. It is. And this is not a slam on Assassin's Creed Odyssey. or Origins because they're both good. They are solid games. They are really good games. CD Projekt Red simply does it better. And I think, and I kind of alluded to this on last episode, in comparison, the writing is not on par with what CD Projekt Red has done. With it's just not, you know, I mean, side story wise, you know, main story, I feel more committed. I care more about that world and characters in The Witcher than I do with Odyssey. I just do. It's just a fact. And you know, like, I'm not saying, oh, I've beaten Odyssey and I've seen everything. Maybe that changes, but I know what The Witcher is. I played that game multiple times. And I've said, I said it from last week, you know, because even from jump, I could tell story-wise it was not going to be on par. And then going back and actually playing some of it again, it is definitely not on par. Hell, even with Thronebreaker coming on the 23rd and just looking at how they're telling that story. Again, we're just talking story. We're just talking voice acting at this point. That's even better, in my opinion. And I know some people will disagree with that, but long story short, just makes me even more excited for Cyberpunk. What we've already seen with Cyberpunk and just the commitment to storytelling that CD Projekt Red has shown. Imagine what they're going to do with Cyberpunk, because look, when Red Dead comes out, that's going to take this open world genre to another level. I fully expect Cyberpunk to be on par, if not surpass, whatever Rockstar's doing with Red Dead by the time it comes out in 2020. So I'm excited.
I don't want that to come off as either a slight to
it's not.
Odyssey, because
yeah,
and it took a lot for me to change my direction and my opinion on Odyssey. Odyssey in and of itself, if you isolate it away from all of the other comparisons, it's a really good game. It actually changed the way I played an Assassin's Creed title, because I always went in with the same mechanic mindset, right? You go in, you take out your opponents, and then you go through. But this one changed the way I play, where now it's more movement based. It's a very reminiscent from a movement perspective to something like Arkham Knight, where you're as Batman, you're sliding in from attack to attack on different enemies, and just the character animations because I'm playing with as Cassandra, as she goes through her motions to attack and swing her knives and stuff like that. It's phenomenal. But like you say, if you try it, once you put it into that comparison of Assassin's Creed Odyssey in comparison to like Witcher 3, I would say, you know, Blood and Wine or Hearts of Stone outshine Odyssey on its own.
Dude,
the DLCs alone outshine from, you know, I think are more of an overall package because of the writing and the lore and the story and everything else. I think those DLCs in and of itself outshine Odyssey just because of how well they're done.
Have you played Blood and Wine? Did you get that far?
I played a little bit of it.
But, and send your angry tweets at Vicious696. Blood and Wine on its own, just that, forget the rest of the game, just Blood and Wine, best open world RPG of this generation, period, point blank. It beats whatever Odyssey is doing or any of these other ones today, in my opinion.
I did Hearts of Stone. I went halfway through Blood and Wine. I probably should go back into that and finish that.
No, you should. You should. It's that good. And what that tells me is this is CD Projekt Red learning from when they initially launched The Witcher 3. This was the culmination of all their lessons learned, is what they put into Blood and Wine. It is literally its own game. It really is. It's that good, you know, and that to me, again, is the gold standard of what CD Projekt Red has done, is look at those two expansions that they put out. I mean, they are top tier. They are not cookie cutter throwaway stuff. They are worth the price of admission plus more, you know? So when I have that in the back of my head the whole time I'm playing Odyssey, and again, I love Cassandra. I love what Odyssey is. Odyssey is worth the $60 that you would spend on it today. Let's not get that twisted at all. Unfortunately, I'm comparing it to the GOAT. That's really all it comes down to. You know, it's like me loving, let's take a basketball analogy as an example. this is me loving Russell Westbrook because Russell Westbrook is a great player for OKC, but then I'm trying to compare him to LeBron.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just take that example. Yeah, it's both are great players, but LeBron's the best player, period. Right, you can't argue that.
Yeah, he's good as a standalone, but when you compare him to others, that's when you start to see the little kinks in the armor. But yeah, I am shocked, and I am anxiously awaiting to see what they're going to be able to do with Cyberpunk 2077. Having gone through all of the learning and all of the growing pains of seeing how The Witcher 3 evolved from its main story to Hearts of Stone to Blood and Wine, now evolving that, flipping it from that mystical fantasy era into this cybernetic post-apocalyptic futurescape of Witcher of Cyberpunk 2077. I can't imagine what that's going to be like. I can't. And now you're going first person as opposed to third person. That may be the only game we play for that 1 year plus once it launches.
Well, hey, I've said it multiple times already. You know, the PC that I am staring at right now was originally built for The Witcher 3 with a 980 GPU in it. GPU. And, you know, I've upgraded things here or there, you know, and I'm 1080 Ti now, but I originally built it because of The Witcher 3. And in 2020, I'm fully expecting to retire this machine off to my son. Most likely he don't know that yet, but I will be building a new PC specifically for Cyberpunk. Because like you just said, that is probably the only game I'll be playing when that comes out. I mean, I'm sure we'll be on Destiny 12 or something at that point. You know, I'll dip in and out of that. But my primary game when that comes out is going to be Cyberpunk because I fully expect it to be genre defining. And I know that's putting a lot of pressure on it, you know, personal pressure on it, you know, that it needs to live up to this for me. But I did that with The Witcher 3 and it lived up to it. It really did. And what we've seen so far with Cyberpunk, look, you've all probably seen the video that went viral that Danny took of me at E3 walking out from Cyberpunk. You saw the goofy look on my face and I couldn't help it because you've all seen that demo now. Imagine seeing it for the first time sitting in that crowd at E3. I was absolutely blown away and I fully expected to be an amazing game. And if I'm wrong, I'll be sad because that's how much I wanted to be good. So we'll see. But speaking on that, And just to shift this slightly, but kind of staying in that genre, Fallout 76, have you kind of kept up with the news of the previews that have come out about that so far?
I have not. I know my son is anxiously awaiting. He jumped in and threw the $300 for the pre-order when it launched and announced. He's getting the helmet. He's getting what he's calling the Virgin Protection Gear. He's anxiously waiting for it. I know that they just went through a stress test this past week, but yeah. I kind of read up on it yesterday, but I haven't really seen what is going on with it. Surprisingly, I have no anxiety or excitement for it. I just don't know if that's something that I want to play.
I'm on the fence. There is a chance I'll be reviewing it. We'll see, you know, but, If I had to, let's put it this way, if I wasn't reviewing it and I needed to spend the money on it myself, I'm squarely on the fence of I just don't know, like almost like don't get it at launch, wait to see what reviews and what people think before I do. So to anyone listening to this or watching this on Twitch, I would wait personally to see. The previews kind of fell in line with what I was thinking, that once you go out into the world, it's kind of empty. And look, and that's what Fallout is. I get it. But the whole appeal of Fallout, for me anyways, had been the exploration of the world and finding new things and running new enemies and going into new cities and meeting the NPCs and just the quests and everything that go with it. A lot of that has seemingly been stripped out to kind of create this online co-op world experience and just the way that you have to handle, if I do encounter someone, You know, they have to engage you. Like, you can kill anyone you want, but if they don't engage you, it takes longer. And then if you do kill them because they didn't want to fight you, now you're a wanted person on there. Just, I almost feel like this is going to get old, man. Because you know there's just going to be people that are in that world to just be a complete a-hole. And at some point, it's going to strip away what made Fallout. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know. I really don't know. And like I said, I'm very on the fence if this is going to work or not. And look, Bethesda's even admitted this is new for them. This is them listening to their community for something that they potentially may want it and them trying. So I applaud Bethesda for trying. They're not in the slightest pretending that this is Fallout 5 or this is the next version of Fallout. This is an experiment for them. And if it doesn't work, they won't do it again. I mean, I think it's really that simple. So again, we'll see. But I'll say this. Let me try and go down the list here, Pete. Forza Horizon 4, Call of Duty, Black Ops 4, Tomb Raider,
Red Dead.
Freaking, if you're into it, Destiny 2, then there's the freaking Thronebreaker, Smash Brothers is going to come out. There are so many gosh darn games out right now. Not to mention on the sports side, Madden, freaking NBA 2K, NBA Live if you're crazy. You know, Battlefield's coming out. There's so many games. Is this the one that you're going to invest your time into this holiday? Is it? Only you can answer that question. Oh, and I'm not even mentioning Assassin's Creed Odyssey, obviously that too. There's so many games that are fighting for your attention right now. Are you going to invest your time and money into a game that is admittedly an experiment? Only you can answer that. For me, not necessarily sure I will, at least not right away. Like I've said before, I'm to the point where I'm afraid to pick up Red Dead on the 26th because that's probably all I'll do when I pick it up. So I really feel like I want to wait a good month or so after launch before I even invest in it, because I want to try and get through all this other stuff first, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah, and you missed a couple in there. Starlink comes out next week.
Oh, my God. Matter of fact, if you're watching this on Twitch, that box behind me is Starlink. Yeah. All the stuff from Starlink that Ubisoft sent me. I actually have to download that and start playing that here tomorrow.
WWE Mega Man 11. There's so many titles coming out in the next 90 days that it's going to be really, really difficult. Darksiders 3, if I want to say. Where do you devote your time? Hitman 2. I didn't even think about that one. There's just so many titles right now that it's going to be really hard to budget time just for the video games. So if you want to jump into Fallout 76, that might just have to be all you dump into for the next, you know, 30, 60, 90 days, just because how do you split enough time? Unless you're like a full-time streamer, how do you split up all that time to directly focus and get the full enjoyment and appreciation of a game?
You can't. And to kind of bring this back full circle the way we started off, like it was reminiscent about gaming in the 80s. Dude, back then, you get one, maybe two games tops a year. That's it. And you playing the hell out of that game, you know, until before you move on to the next one. We're in different times now. And look, people listening to this, watching this, us, we're a different breed. We're more hardcore gamers because we're more apt to pick up 4 or 5+ games a year and play them. So we're talking about all these games coming out right now. The average person, they're maybe picking up one, maybe two this holiday. They're not really picking up all these games that we're talking about and playing them. So again, that kind of brings it back to the Fallout thing. For that person that's going to be super picky on what they pick up and play, is Fallout really the one that you're going to invest in? I don't know. I'll say this for the record. I personally think, and I could be wrong because I was wrong about Assassin's Creed Odyssey, because trust me, Danny couldn't wait to throw that information in my face, because Odyssey is selling, is it the highest selling Assassin's Creed in X amount of time? I forget what it was, but it's doing very well right now. And I didn't think it would, because I thought a lot of people were like, man, Origins just came out a year ago. I'm not picking this up. I was wrong. Always willing to admit when I was wrong. But I think, and could be wrong again, Fallout 76 should not be coming out in November. This should have been, a summer game for them. This should have been an off-season game for them. This shouldn't have been their tentpole game this holiday coming for Bethesda. Which, to be honest, if you look at outside of the main Fallout and Elder Scroll games, when they bring them out in the holiday, their other games haven't been doing that well. Like, look at Dishonored. Dishonored 2. Dishonored 2 didn't do that well. And they put that out in the holiday, which was a great game.
Yep.
But a lot of people weren't picking that up. You know, and that's what kind of the point I'm making. It's not that Bethesda makes bad games, but when they put it out in this rush of the holiday, they tend to get lost in the shuffle. And I think Fallout 76 maybe falls into that, but maybe it doesn't because it has the Fallout name in it. I don't know. We'll see. I just think when we look back at the NPDs for Fallout 76, it's not going to do as well as we potentially think it would. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But that's just me. Again, we got the Monster, Red Dead, Call of Duty, all that stuff coming out. So we'll see. Which, by the way, I know I'm shifting gears here. Speaking of Red Dead and just how everyone just got the hell out of the way of it, even Call of Duty was like, we don't want none of that smoke. We were coming out early, right? They even got out of the way of it. I still, and Danny and I were having this conversation offline. I still think when we look at the numbers head to head, and I'm talking this year, I'm not talking long term, I'm talking just the initial launch sales. I still think Call of Duty does better than Red Dead initially. I still think that IP has enough swag that, oh my God, I can't believe I just said swag. I'm almost 45 years old and I said that. Anyways, I still think it's going to be very strong. And again, it's going to be close either way. Right. But I think Call of Duty is going to be a very strong launch game. I think, obviously, Red Dead in the long term is going to be an absolute monster that is going to stay in the top 10 for years to come. But I do think Call of Duty, they did the right move by, let's get out in front of Red Dead. We still have the name. We got this new mode that has great word of mouth. I still think people are going to run out and pick it up and play it. And then obviously you're going to get your Red Dead people. But like I said, I still think Call of Duty winds up being for the holiday sales, the number one game this year. What do you think?
That's a bold statement, Cotton. I think I'm going to agree with you on that one. Just because Red Dead Redemption has a long history of popularity with a certain generation of gamers. But that generation is the one that is probably going to pick up this next one. When you put into comparison, and this actually ties into the conversation we just had about the plethora of games coming out at the tail end of 2018. Think about a lot of, and I hate to say just the kids, probably a better term is the demographic of the players that are going to be picking up titles at the tail end of the year. Those are going to be the ones that want to play the constant, you know, the rapid fire battle royale Call of Duty. They're going to want to play Blackout. Look at everything that's going on. Yes, Red Dead Redemption is a totally different beast, especially when you look at how GTA 5 has done over the last 5 years. I think over the long run, I think GTA 5 will be the one that does better than Blackout, but I think that initial...
You mean Red Dead?
What's that? No, Red Dead Redemption 2 is going to be, over the long run, is going to be the bigger number dropper. You know, it's going to have more online sales and everything associated to it. But I think if you just go that first 30-day launch period, I think Blackout 4 is going to have the higher number just because it's the tried and true. People may be hesitant to go into Red Dead Redemption 2 because they don't know about the title. They don't know about the IP. They don't know about the franchise. They don't know what's in store. I think a lot of that is also going to be predicated on the fact that there's not going to be a PC release initially. Going back to our other conversations, we don't know if there's going to be a PC release, and if there is, we don't know when it's going to drop. And I think that's going to affect that initial launch number. Whereas Call of Duty, you don't have that problem. It's on all platforms from a next gen perspective, from PlayStation, Xbox, and PC as well.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of the thing. Like you mentioned the PC version, and this is where Red Dead, I think, has the long shelf life because idiots like me will double dip. I am. I'll just tell you that right now. I'll be getting the PC version of Red Dead when it comes out. Oh, I got to get it. I got to have it. You know, even though I never got Grand Theft Auto 5 on PC, I never did. I got the PS4 version. Well, I got, was it the 360? Anyways, I got one of the old gen versions, but then when it came out on PS4, I also got it there as well. But I didn't get it on PC. I'm like, I'm not triple dipping unless it goes under $20. And it's never gone under $20 because I've looked. Yeah. And you know, I know some chatter in our Twitch chat right now of disagreeing what we're talking about, which is fine. And again, could be wrong. What do I know? I don't know nothing. But I just think, Call of Duty has been the GOAT since 2007, right? Every time you look at the end of the holiday numbers, what's the number one game? It's Call of Duty. No matter how good or bad it is, it's always Call of Duty. I've been to these world championships. I see how rabid that fan base is. And I'm just telling you right now, that name still sells. It may not be at its peak anymore, but it's still selling enough that it's number one. You know, which is why they keep pumping these damn things out every year. And there's no signs of that slowing down. So that's why I say, again, I still think getting out 2 weeks ahead of Red Dead was the right move for them. And I still think because of that, they're still going to have record sales. I shouldn't say record. They're still going to have high sales.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the potential they could still be the number one game this holiday. If they're not, they're number two because it's Red Dead. I'm acknowledging that Red Dead's a monster. I just think there's a chance that Call of Duty still has its rabid fan base that picks that game up. That's all.
And also look at the numbers on, and I know it's initial. I know it's because it's, you know, the first week. But if you look at all of the big names on Twitch who have basically dropped off of the PUBG bandwagon, the Shrouds, the Disrespects, this, you know, all of them, they've essentially said goodbye to PUBG. Will they come back? I don't know. Probably not for the next couple of weeks, especially because, you know, Blackout's the hot title du jour. But to see how the bandwagon in general has left PUBG aside, only those hardcore players are going to remain on PUBG. To see the general mass of people shift from PUBG to Blackout, the excitement leading into the launch of everybody saying they wanted to jump because of various reasons. Don't be surprised if you and I are right because of that. I mean, that shift tells a lot of tales, especially from a sales perspective and an excitement level that people wanted to see this game and to see how well it's done initially. Again, it's had its issues. You know, it's got its very, very minor. I mean, but these are like nitpicky issues. To see how they've done that, yeah, it's going to be if anything, it'll be a close. It'll be close if you compare those Red Dead to Blackout 4 numbers.
Yep, agreed. I think we're going to wrap it up now because full disclosure, I'm going to go finish this raid. I'm just being honest, so we're not going to go extra long. And Danny, because we have some voicemails and things, but I actually think those would be better if Danny was on, so we get all three of our perspectives on them, especially since because there are a lot of them tied to, you know, the streaming stuff. And just, you know, when we're having that discussion last week with Danny and I about PlayStation 5 versus what Xbox is doing, backwards compatibility, all that stuff. So we'll wait till Danny comes back on Wednesday to get into that further. So before we wrap this up, any last comment, thread, anything you want to bring up?
I'm buying Blackout 4 because my son just told me, he literally just sent me the message and he said, "Where you at? Let's bleep on some kids on Blackout 4.
Well, there you go.
So there you go. I'm out.
There you go.
I'm going in.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I got to finish Riven, so I won't be on this morning. And then I'm going to go watch NFL. And after that, we're going to a friend's house, kid, get all the kids together thing. Right. So if I'm on, it won't be until late this evening. So if you're still around, I'll definitely jump in. But that's good. Glad you're going to do it. I like how we started the show. I don't know. We'll see. And then by the end, you're getting it. Great.
That's all it took. All it took was one message from my son to say, let's go. Yep. And I'm in.
That's great. All right. Well, then we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. So I want to thank everybody for listening to Gamertag Radio, episode 804. Danny, one more time, remind everyone where they can leave us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, we'll be back later this week. We'll have Danny here, and we'll jump into more of all these topics of the gaming world. Like I said, this is the crazy time because there's so many great games coming out. So I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about here soon. And again, just want to thank everyone for listening. This has been episode 804. I'm Paris. That's Pete. We'll see you guys in a few days.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.